Okay, hello everybody. So this is New Jersey Revolution Radio podcast. Very excited to have a busy day today. It's a Sunday, and while I did take a little bit of time off from my family, I did a lot of work on the website today and recorded an interview earlier with Jabari Brisport. And so I'm going to do a second interview in a day, and that fact that I'm that busy is really good, bodes well for the future of what we're trying to do. On a previous podcast, I did tell you all that I'm going to be interviewing Teresa Mercado, a Green Party and immigrants' rights activist and an all-around great person. You know, when people talk about, you know, their heroes and people they look up to, I've met quite a few of them right here in New Jersey. Organizers, educators, intellectuals, and just plain, rabble-rousers, and all of them inspire me. Near the very top of that list is Teresa and her work. While a lot of us go out in the streets and we chant that immigrants are welcome here, Teresa has made it her own personal mission to reach out and really make immigrants feel welcome here. And she's, as I said previously, she's got a heart as big as our state. Teresa, hi, how are you? Thanks for joining us today.
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
All right, great. I know your background, but some of the people listening may not know all of your background. So in a little, you have some time, and I'd love to spend some time with you because you have a great story. How did you wind up here in New Jersey, working so hard for social justice?
Well, it's been a very long journey. I'm actually an immigrant from Canada. Grew up in kind of the suburban in a white neighborhood. As a normal lower middle class kid, but started to see a lot of social justice issues in the neighborhoods. We had a lot of immigrants come in suddenly from India and Pakistan who were excluded from a lot of things. And I could see that there was something wrong with what was going on there, that there was a lot of racism, and that really bothered me. And so I started paying attention to things, to different social causes. I read the autobiography of Malcolm X several times as a teenager. I was involved in helping my friends that were kind of the underdogs in different fights. And I really started to see that the world was not a fair place. It was not a just place, though I didn't really know what I could do about it at the time.
So it sounds like actually racial justice issues was your entry into activism. I mean, would you say that was kind of like your first taste of organizing were there other issues?
I wouldn't even say it was my first organizing. It was just the first things that I started to notice that were going wrong. Right. It was actually not until much later in my life that I became active in organizing. It seems like I've been doing it forever, but it's actually only been just over a year. And the things that really started to get me into activism, actually in Canada, I went through a period of poverty and homelessness and got to know a lot of other people living on the streets, living in the shelters. And I started to pay attention to why they were there and why it was so difficult to get out of it, because I was going through the same thing. We all took care of each other and helped each other. And I started to pay attention to politics at that point, which led me to join the Green Party of Canada.
Wow. When I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That's really cool because I think when we think of politics and political education, too many people think of it as something that starts in the halls of academia or in Congress or in these institutional establishments, but you learned about it in homeless shelters, huh?
Yes. And on the streets, because politics affects real people and it is often presented as something for the elite. And it usually only supports the elite, the wealthy, the big corporations. And it doesn't really listen much to the regular people, but it's the regular people who are affected the most by our policies, by our legislations, by our representatives who tend not to want to listen to us. That's why I really believe now in community organizing and gaining the voices of the people who are most directly affected in issues and giving the power back to them.
Yeah, that affects you so profoundly. And I've, been involved in grassroots stuff and through coalition work, you can see that the establishment really wants you to just kind of talk to them. They do kind of want to isolate you and make you think that, trading these favors at the upper echelons of society is what makes a difference. But, you know, I think that you are a great example, and I can tell you through my own experiences that I think you gain a lot more insight and knowledge from working, you know, with those groups and groups of marginalized communities. So I think it translates really well into what we're trying to do here in New Jersey. So today you made it here to New Jersey, you know, and thank God that you're here. And when I think of the majority of your work, I think about immigrants' rights issues, but I know you're involved in so much more. You know, talk to us about like exactly what you've been doing since you kind of picked up on that and other issues here in New Jersey.
I'll tell you my first introduction to issues in the U.S. really at all were related to LGBT issues. Mm-hmm. The Defense of Marriage Act, which was of course supported by the Democrats, is kept me out of the U.S. for a number of years that I could have been here already because I immigrated here to marry a same-sex partner. Mm-hmm. And the Defense of Marriage Act did not allow same-sex marriages because they weren't recognized federally. So we had to spend years traveling back and forth, spending a lot of money maintaining two different households, and kind of putting our lives on hold, waiting for the legislation to change. So when the legislation finally changed and I was able to immigrate, it was really the LGBT issues that I was thinking of. I didn't really think too much about the immigration issues until a little bit later, when I kind of tied in that, yes, LGBT issues and the immigrant rights movement should work together because they do affect each other in this way. There is a lot of common ground between the two movements, and they should join forces and work together on them, as should all other movements in these areas.
Absolutely. I think all of us have developed more intersectional perspectives you know, through our involvement and through our activism. That's great. And it goes to show that these ridiculous laws that discriminate against people keep great people out of our country. You know, it's not a detriment to have somebody such as yourself or a lot of hardworking people that want to make it here and, you know, and be done, you know, and have some justice when they get here. So, you know, that's a good story there. So like I did say, but currently, you know, you're doing a ton of work with refugees. I'd love to talk to you about, you know, the family that you've worked with and those relationships that you've built there. Those are pretty personal relationships, aren't they?
Absolutely. So I'm involved with this group called Refugee Assistance Morris Partners, RAMP, and they bring in families and help them to settle themselves and get established over their first year or so. We have two families that we're working with right now, one family from Syria and another family from Afghanistan. And I've been working mostly with this family from Afghanistan. It's a young couple. They had a one-year-old at the time, a little boy, and they've since had a baby daughter. She's a couple months old now.
No.
And wonderful family, and I've gotten to know them quite well, inviting them, picking them up at the airport and welcoming them into the community and helping them find housing. A number of Green Party members and I repainted the house that they were moving into, cleaned it for them. Now I take them grocery shopping regularly because they don't have a car yet. And I've been watching them grow and settle here. And the husband already spoke English, but now the wife, who didn't speak any, has been learning it quite a bit. The toddler has been learning English quite a bit. They're really settling in. The father has got a great job. In his field, in the field that he studied for in Afghanistan. So he's definitely being very successful. And they're so happy here. And they've been so supported by the communities, by all kinds of different religions, people of different nationalities. Everyone is just welcoming them here. They've had a really great time in the Morristown area, here in Morris County.
Yeah, the faith groups that you've been working with have played quite a role in this. You know, how is that fit? You said now it's been in multiple different faiths, huh?
Yeah.
So I mean, I'd love to hear how is that coming together? How does that work? And You know, is that something we can look forward to more support from?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, I'm not a religious person myself, so I never really expected to be so involved in faith-based organizations, but pretty much everything that I'm doing has support of multiple different faith-based organizations. So we've worked with the Muslim community, with Quakers, with Methodists, with Lutherans. We work with all kinds of churches. We have regular meetings at churches. They're so generous to give us their space. They've helped us fundraise. They help us work directly with people in the streets. This one example, the Methodist Church in Dover, we regularly hand out clothing and food items to the homeless, and we're working on a number of programs with the church to reach out to the community and offer services that people may need, a legal clinic, various other things. The churches have really, they've been working on social justice issues for a long time, but they're really stepping up in the age of Trump, where it's a lot more people are scared and don't know what to do these days.
It's a shame that so much suffering has to go on, but I do agree that, you know, because of this work and because of these issues, that we're actually, you know, starting to see some level of raised consciousness and activism. You know, thank you for your leadership on that. So while we're getting ready to wrap up here, you know, you talked about a number of these groups, including RAMP. Do you have any near upcoming events that you'd like to let people know about that they can make it out to, or any websites or something that they can visit to make a donation? It's time to plug things, and I know you got quite a bit, but don't be shy because all of this work, you don't know who can make what. So please throw it out there. If you got a laundry list, let's hear it.
Well, we have all kinds of things going on. We're starting some working groups. Some committees that we invite people to join, even if they're not Greens, to work on various different issues. We have anti-poverty, immigration rights, climate change, economics. We have war and military committees starting soon. So we need bodies to help with all of these kinds of committees. And you can find information about them on the Green Party of Morris County Facebook page.
Cool.
I encourage everyone to also follow some immigrant rights organizations. I'm a member of a group in Morristown called Wind of the Spirit, and they do a lot of activism work. We do a lot of rallies and marches and actions involving legislatures and other things, and you can find them on Facebook. You can also go to windofthespirit.net. You can donate to them if you'd like to help them as well. Next weekend, on March 24th, there's going to be a fundraiser for one of our young immigrant rights activists, Cynthia, who was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she's been a powerful activist, organizer, leader, and she is going to need a lot of help and support in this new fight ahead. So this is just one way that people can help, is by finding the fundraiser, which is called Cuts and the letter N, Coors for the number 4 cancer, Saturday, March 24th at 8 p.m. in Dover, in Morris County. There's going to be people shaving their heads to raise money, for this organization that will be helping Cynthia, our friend. And our goal is to raise $10,000 through this fundraiser. So if you find this event page, you can actually donate online. There's certain keywords that we want you to put when you donate online so that it goes to the right person. Right. You can find all the information for that on Facebook.
Cool. All right. More?
Oh, of course.
Keep going.
So then the next thing that we'll have is on April 8th. We are having a war and military forum. It's co-sponsored by a number of different groups, including New Jersey Peace Action, the New Jersey Anti-War Agenda, and the Northern New Jersey chapter of the Jewish Voice for Peace. And we're going to have speakers, and we may have a film screening, and we're going to really connect the war and military issues with healthcare, climate change, poverty, immigration, racism, education, and all kinds of other things as, again, a way to draw people into the movement, get people involved and see how all of our particular issues interact with each other. So that'll be on April 8th, and that's with the Green Party of Morris County Facebook page. You can find that under the events as well.
Cool. All right. Well, I don't think that many people can do what Teresa does.
Anybody can.
I don't think that they can do all of what you do because you're pretty amazing. But I'll tell you what, if you can do a tenth of what Teresa does, then, you know, and a lot of people did that, this world would be awesome. So, you know, I certainly encourage people to find these links to these organizations that she's involved with and, you know, just use her as a great example of activism in your work. And that's why I was excited to have you on, Teresa, because certainly, and you know, you said that you were nervous coming on here, that you're shy sometimes, but, you know, you've overcome that and you've overcome quite a bit to be where you're at. And I know that I'm real proud to call you a comrade. And I know that pretty much every Green in the state looks up to you and your hard work. So, you know, thank you very much.
I appreciate that and your support as always. You've been very welcoming to me here and supportive. But I do want to say that anyone can do it. I have gone through not just shyness, but horrible social anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts. I've gone through a lot of tough issues and I actually didn't really start even dealing with them until last year. Through the Green Party, through my spouse who's been supporting me through all of this, I've learned a lot about activism and organizing and leadership. I knew nothing. I had never spoken publicly before last year. I've never organized anything before last year. But having a great supportive network of people has taught me a lot. And so no matter what, anyone can do it.
Yeah. I know you and Julie, you're really lucky to have each other. I know that. And yeah, having the support of a good spouse is so important. And having that network is important as well. So thank you again for all you do. Thank you to everybody who tuned in today to New Jersey Revolution Radio. And, you know, we look forward to fostering an environment where people like Teresa and this amazing work that she does can, you know, be put out there and have platforms. So hope to check you guys out. Please share this with your friends and your comrades. And we'll see you the next time on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and we're clear. There we go.